Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read just one verse there this morning. Romans chapter 12. And once you have found that, skip down to verse number 16. Romans chapter 12, verse number 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend, and that word condescend means to come down to that person's level, condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I want to read that one more time, but before we read it, I want to point out a couple of key words and phrases. The first phrase I want us to really look at here is be of the same mind. The next one is mind not high things. And then the word condescend, I want us to keep that in mind as we read this. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. For just a few moments this morning, I want to touch on the thought of the same mind, of the same mind. God set the standard, if you will, from the very beginning as to how our thought process is supposed to be. From the very beginning, Brother Archie, it was God who set the standard and made himself an example for us to follow. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us," speaking of the Godhead Trinity, "let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now I want you to catch something there. Two different things he said. In our image and after our likeness. It was one thing for Adam to look like God. And the Bible tells us that when he came, anytime Adam came to and fro and God walked with him in the garden, anytime the devil seen Adam, it was as though he was seeing God. God made him in his perfect likeness. It was God's plan for him to be perfect. It was God's plan for him to do right. But there was a second thing that God wanted there, not just to look like them, but to be in their likeness, to act like them, to think like them, to talk like them. And as we know, Adam failed miserably in that area. So God set the standard from the very beginning. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 tells us there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. And these three are one. John 10:30, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." John 17:22, Jesus is praying in the garden and he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them," speaking of his disciples, "that they may be one, even as we are one." If you remember the story in Genesis, God is speaking with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to Jesus, his son. He says, "Now, we're going to go down and we're going to see exactly what's going on here at this Tower of Babel, because there's a problem." He didn't say the people are as one. He said the people is one. So when you study that out, that means they are perfectly united in one mind. He said, "Now nothing will be impossible to them because they purpose to build this tower all the way to heaven." Now you got to stop and think about something. Things was a lot different back in those days. They talk today about the human brain, and they say that, if I'm getting this right, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking, I heard one person say that we only use 6% of the capability of our brain. Another person said 8%, and I heard another person say 12%. I don't know which one's right, but those still aren't very good numbers when you think about how little part of our brain that we use. But I want you to think about something. When man was first made, he was made perfect before the fall. Keep in mind, Adam was like God. When Satan seen Adam coming, He was fearful because the glory of God was upon him, Brother Archie. There was nothing imperfect in him. He walked around nude and didn't know he was nude because he was covered by the glory of God. And so he was a powerful being. Many Bible scholars agree and believe that Adam had 100% capacity of brain power. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever taken the time to think about that. And I'm sure of all the years you've been in church, you've heard some pastor allude to that. But simply what that being put compared to someone today who only uses, and we'll just go with the 8%, we'll hit the middle, 8% of their brain compared to 100% of their brain, Brother Mike, we're talking about an individual that can pretty much do anything they want to do. Now, having said that, I want you to picture, man begins to degenerate over time. First, he starts out, Methuselah lives 969 years. But as time goes on, it trickles down to when you get, by the time you get to Abraham, they're only living around 120 years. Is the average. That's a big drop. But before that drop, we had this guy by the name of Nimrod who wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be a god himself. And he was able to get those people in one mind and one accord, and their purpose was to build this tower to heaven. You know the rest of the story. He said, let's come down. God said, let's come down and confound their language because right now these people are unified. Can I tell you this morning that if the church could have that kind of unity, we would have unlimited power of God. Jesus spoke to Peter, and when he was, and we'll probably get to this a little bit later on as well, but he was speaking to Peter and his disciples, and he said, who do men say that I am? And some of them started rattling off, well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist. Some of them say that you're Jeremiah the prophet, and some other prophets, Elijah, and different ones. He said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? Peter didn't miss a beat. He spoke up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood's not been the one that has revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven is the one. God was giving Peter supernatural divine knowledge at that moment to know who he was looking at. And he went furthermore, he said, furthermore, Simon, he said, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, I'm going to go a step further. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. Whatsoever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed. And we're talking about power, church. But the only way to be able to tap into that kind of power is to be unified. And as I said before, it takes us back to our original thought. God is the one from the very beginning, Brother Archie, who set the standard, set himself as an example for us to look at, that we've got to be of the same mind. Now, having said that, if we look at the Word of God, God always, always handpicks His leaders. God does. Now, there's a group today that we would classify as mommy called and daddy sent. There are a lot of people, Brother Mike, that say they're pastors, they say they're evangelists and teachers and everything else, but they're not called by God. God always handpicks His leaders. I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. If you want to turn there, it'd be good because this is something I'd like for you to see for yourself and just kind of read along with me. A very powerful verse of Scripture that backs up what I just said. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, and this is God talking, by the way. He says, and I will give you pastors according to what? Mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I want to read that one more time, and I want you to read it with me. You don't have to read it out loud, but I want you to read it with me. God says, and I will give you pastors, and here's the kicker right here, according to mine heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Brother Archie, sad to say today, there's a lot of, quote, pastors that are not after God's heart. When God handpicks a pastor, He handpicks them for this reason. He knows aforetime, Uncle John, that their heart is already ready to accept what His commission is. There's a lot of people that aren't. In fact, you've heard the saying, people say, well, they started out good, but then they got corrupt. And even the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Paul knew that there was going to be people that were going to fall off along the way. And here's the reason why. They weren't handpicked by God to begin with. There's always someone who's going to come along, Brother Tom, and jump on the bandwagon. Yep. Once the wagon's moving, it's easy to jump on. But when you've got to have somebody pushing the wagon, most people don't want any part of that. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. This Saturday, Friday, whatever it was, and Crystal and I came up here, and I was just aggravated. I thought, you know, this is supposed to have been done a year ago, and shame on me for procrastinating. And thank God for a good wife. I don't know many wives that would do this, but she helped me. Me and my wife grabbed that back pew, took it all the way out the front door, all the way around the back. By the time we got to that back door, God bless America, here come a Marine over from Sonic. He's putting his gloves on. He says, he's just shaking his head. He said, I figured y'all could use a little bit of help. And then when he figured out where we took it from, he goes, how in the world did you two get that pew all the way from there around to here? And of course, it was God. But it was a chore. Yes. We had to lift that pew, Sister Darlene, about 4 feet and stop. 4 feet and stop. Get a breath. That's hard on a fat feller, I'll tell you. And so here comes that Marine. I thought, boy, we got the power now. He put them gloves on. And James, he reached down and grabbed that pew, and he goes, whoa! And I thought, well, I don't feel so bad now. But thank God we got it in there. But my point being is this. A lot of people don't want to put forth the effort that it takes to get something into motion. And we see this a lot in the church world today. When a new ministry starts out, a lot of times one of them good old-fashioned storefront churches, and I've been in a few of those. We've sang in a few of those. And God lays it on that pastor's heart to start that storefront church, Brother Archie. There's usually only just a few that's willing to help him out. And then what happens is, once those few get together in one mind and one accord, and God starts to move Sister Brenda, it starts growing. Here they come out of the woodworks. You know, they're jumping on the bandwagon. Now, don't get me wrong. That's what we want to do. We want to build the church up. But there's some people that they're just simply there for the ride only. There's not very many people nowadays willing to get their hands dirty. But God handpicks his pastors, his teachers, his apostles, his evangelists, according to his heart. How can he do that? Because he is the only one that has the ability to look at each and every one of us in our heart. He's able to look at our heart, and he's able to see whether our heart is truly in tune with his. Whether our thought process, Sister Sandy, is going to be after his. It's one thing for someone to go through an accredited college and go through all the right motions and all the right moves and get their documentation lined up. I had a young preacher one time tell me, he said, well, I can't preach. God's called me to preach, but I can't preach. I said, what do you mean you can't preach? He said, my pastor told me I can't preach until I got a degree. I said, wow. I said, well, I guess I'm out there in left of plumb, because I've been preaching since I'm 16 years old and I've yet to see a college or anything like that. Oh, but I got a lot of confidence in my pastor. You know, he can quote the Greek and he can quote them words by memory and he can pronounce them just right. Like, you know, a lot of pastors, they don't even pronounce them words right, but he can even pronounce them right. I said, well, good for him. I said, but who was it that called you, your pastor or God? And his eyes got real big around then, you know. Well, it was God that called me. When man gets involved, then all kind of messes evolve. That's what happens when you have such a high amount of learning that you think you've arrived. In the book of Daniel, God told Daniel, he said, Daniel, in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. I heard Sister Crystal's mother say this more than once. She said, there's going to come a time. She'd get up and testify. The Holy Ghost would be all over. She said, there's going to come a time when they're going to get so smart, they're going to be just plain dumb. That's how she talked. And she's right. When man leans on his own abilities and his own power, all we got to do is look at the examples of the Word of God. And I already gave you one this morning. Go back to the Tower of Babel. Look what happened to them. They were unified a lot more than what the church today is. So much so that God in heaven said, we got to come down and do something about this, because nothing's going to be impossible with them. Are you getting that this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying on that? And still, all of their efforts came to naught. Why? Because God is not the one that handpicked it. He's not the one that ordained it. He's not the one that planted it. When God plants something, it's going to go forward regardless of what kind of hell comes against that pastor. Sometimes, I remember Pastor Dylan was talking with me before they moved on, and when they were turning everything over to us, he said, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you something. He said, we've been pastoring here for 35 years. He told me a lot of good things. I tell you what, I thank God they hung around for 6 months like they did, because they really brought us along, Brother Tom, and helped us. We had pastored before, but there was a lot of good golden nuggets that he gave us, and this was one of them. He said, oh, we've pastored for the 35 years we've pastored here. He said, we've seen a trend. He says, I want to tell you ahead of time so you don't get rattled. He said, by the time the months of November, December, January, and February roll around, he said, you're going to notice the money's going to drop. He said, now we've watched this for 35 years. He said, I just want you to know, don't panic. He said, because it'll rebound. It always does. He said, let me tell you, he said, it's not right. He said, but this is what happens. And you can just imagine Brother Dylan, you know, we talk, he's always doing this with his hands, you know. He said, this is what happens. He said, I can't explain it. He said, but this is what happens. He said, people, rather than paying their tithes and rather than giving God his money, they tuck a little bit back because Christmas is around the corner. And so they do that. He said, and they think, okay, now we're in the clear. January is going to roll around. We're going to have a big month. He said, no, hold on, wait a minute. He said, now they got to catch up on the bills they didn't pay. He said, but don't panic, he said, because once you get past February, everything just kind of rebounds again. It's kind of like a flow. And I say that to say this, God will always have that pastor's back. It's not God's will for those pastors to lie awake at night worrying about finances, because first of all, God don't put them there just to make it not come of anything. So God handpicks his pastors. And I want to read this verse one more time, because it's a very important verse. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, God said, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then in Ephesians 4 and 11, this is also a good one. And you don't have to turn there, because you're going to know what this is as soon as I start reading it. Some of you could quote it. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I want to point out something first and foremost here before I give you the breakdown of this. If you notice in that verse, if you're reading it with me, after the word apostles, after the word prophets, and after the word evangelists, there is a semicolon which separates, kind of like a comma. But when you get to pastors and teachers, there is no semicolon after pastors. There's a conjunction. Pastors and teachers. Why? Because they go together. The semicolon comes after the teachers. It's the only one in that whole verse that is coupled together. Everything else stands alone. Having said that, the word gave there in the Greek is translated didomi, and it means to appoint one to an office, to give one to someone to follow him as a leader, to grant or permit or to commission one to go. The word pastors in the Greek is translated poimen, and it means the presiding officer set by Christ over the church. The presiding officer set by Christ over the church. Now, keep in mind what we've been talking about here. God handpicks his leaders. There's a lot of leaders, but they're not all handpicked by God. We can look in the Old Testament, and we can see in the Old Testament, we can see in the New Testament, and we can even see in modern time, example after example after example of leaders that God handpicked and put them exactly where they needed to be. Some of them that I've not put on the list here that we're going to get to in a minute that still comes to mind. Deborah is a good example. A woman that God used in the Old Testament as a judge of Israel. And Barak, here he was supposed to be a man of valor. He was supposed to be over the captain of the guard, so to speak. He was supposed to lead the men against this heathenistic nation for God. But he cowered out. And so God raised up a woman by the name of Deborah. She said, all right, I'll go with you, Barak. He's just a pleading and a crying, you know. I'll go with you, Barak, but the woman's going to be the one who's going to get the glory day for it. And she did. Then you skip over into the New Testament, you find another woman by the name of Mary. Now, obviously, we hear Mary, we think of the mother of Jesus. She's a very prominent, important woman. But there's another woman by the name of Mary, Mary Magdalene, where seven devils were cast out of her. And we see her running to the disciples who, once again, are cowering in a corner, Brother Archie, scared for their lives. I can almost see her in my mind's eye. I said, boys, wake up, what are you doing? Shake yourself. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. She was the first woman. And I might say the first one, period, to carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Prominent people that God places, he handpicks. in the Old Testament, some of the ones that really come to mind, Joseph. God raises him up in a heathenistic country called Egypt. Second in command to only Pharaoh. That's power. And God, as you know in the story, God used him to not only feed Egypt, but to feed his own father and the Israelites and many other countries around in that area. Along comes Moses. God brings him out of Egypt, hand points him as the leader of his people, Israel. And for 40 years, they had to wander around in a wilderness. Why? Because they were stubborn, stiff-necked, and wouldn't listen to the one God handpicked. I'm just saying. How can you see, and we say this all the time, how can you see the power of God in demonstration time after time? And it shows you the mercy of God, Brother Creed, how God is so willing, Brother Mark, to go so far with us, even when we're not worthy of it. And he did that with Israel time and time again, fought their battles, split the Red Sea, did all these things we read about, and yet they still would turn to these ridiculous gods fashioned by man and say, these be the gods that brought you out. What a smack in the face to God for someone to say something like that.
Right.
So for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. Then you come to Daniel. God raises him up also in another wicked kingdom of Babylon. Second only in command to King Nebuchadnezzar himself. Go over to the New Testament. You got John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. After John, along comes Peter. We remember we were talking about Peter. Peter is the same guy that denied him three times. But Jesus told him, he said, Simon, Bar-Jonas, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, that I am the Christ. But my Father in heaven's the one that just revealed that to you. And I'm going to say further, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, in other words, upon the profession of your confession of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That was a promise by Jesus Christ. Oh, but we can't stop there. Then we see Paul, the leader of the Gentiles. You got Peter, the leader of the Jews, and Paul, the leader of the Gentiles. We got Jesus in the middle, the bridging gap of the two. I preached a message years ago about bridging the gap. And one day that's coming very soon when both companies are going to be brought together. And I'm looking forward to that. God handpicks his people. I'm talking about being of the same mind. Being of the same mind. At the same time, God requires his church, listen to me now, to follow his leader. When you look at Moses, it's a sad picture of what happens when they don't follow the leader. I don't know about you, church, but when I think about it, I get excited of just the notion of walking into these doors and seeing the power of God move in such a mighty way, Brother Tom, kind of like a few weeks ago how it was. Can you imagine how you would feel, Brother Mike, for the Lord to move on anybody in the church? Say, go back to Robert and put your hand on his head. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed of autism. And instantly, he's healed. Somebody in a wheelchair like Rebecca who can't walk, God moves on somebody in the church. Lay their hands on her and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And those ankle bones receive strength and she's walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know about you, but I would much rather have that abounding in our church than to wander around in a wilderness for 40 years and never accomplish anything. The point I'm trying to make is this. We've got to be unified. Now, let me just make a statement before I go any further, because some of you are looking at me funny. I haven't had any complaints. I haven't heard anybody talking. So let me just put that straight right now in this church, okay? I've not heard anybody talking and whatever. But God's laid this on my heart for a reason. And you know me, I'm going to preach what God puts on my heart. So, but I want to put that in there just to put your mind at ease. Nobody has come to me or Crystal that I know of and has complained about anything or complained about anything the way we're doing it. So I don't want you thinking, I don't want you getting off track here. I want you to stay focused with me here for a minute. If we really and truly want this church to go forward for God and do exploits, we've got to be unified. We've got to be of the same mind one toward another. It has to be. Man. Now we can look at churches all over the place Brother Gene stood up here not too long ago and told us about a church in Missouri that got split right down the middle because they weren't unified. I've often said this, and you've probably heard me say this since you've been here. If you don't like it here, if you don't agree with the mission plan that God has laid on my heart, by all means, there's 100 churches around here to choose from. Find one. Because I want God's will here. And I don't say that to be harsh or brash or anything like that. I'm just saying, church, I want a move of God. Amen. I want God to have His way. I don't care about my way. I don't care about your way or anybody else's way. I want God to have His way. But I realize through the scriptures that the only way that can happen, Brother Archie, is for all of God's people to become as one. When our mind is as one with God, we're going to accomplish a lot of things, Brother Tony, when we get to that point. So God requires the church to follow His leader. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says it like this. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. In the word and in doctrine. I've locked horns with some people in the past when we pastored the church that we did in Springfield because I told them, and I've been told by even family members I was wrong by looking at it this way, but I told them, I said, you all handle the business, let me deal with the word. No, you're the pastor, you need to be in the thick of things. But Brother Archie, what I want is the will of God. I don't care about people splitting hairs over where this dollar spent or where that dollar spent. The Apostle Paul, I believe it was, said to choose you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. It was him or Peter one to take care of the affairs of the church. That we may give ourselves to prayer and fasting and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Listen to this. This is the part that stood out to me, and I don't know why, but God wanted me to stress this. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And here it is. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or Peter, and I am of Christ. Notice Paul's conclusion here. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, the questions itself answers it, doesn't it? We've got to be of the same mind. Again, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart. I'm just minding Him this morning. And I'll be honest with you, church, I'm doing my best to be lovey-lovey with it. Because I'm not a mind reader, and I'm not trying to read minds. I'm just trying to be obedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 14, and with the Lord's help, we'll close on this, says, for the administration of this service, listen, not only supplies the wants of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Get that for a minute. I want you to catch that. I want to read it again. While by the experiment of this ministration, they, the ministers, glorify God for your professed subjection unto what? The gospel of Christ. Your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. And for your liberal distribution of them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Simply what he's saying there, simply put, is this. These ministers are looking out for you. This is what he's telling this church. They're looking out for you. God has handpicked them and placed them over that assembly, over you.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I used to be is gone away. Love, his love changed me. I no longer have to live my life in vain. 'Cause I'm here to say, his love changed.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.